I love today that we finished singing on the cross, because for Christmas we celebrate the birth of Christ, but that's not the end of the story. He came for a specific reason, and that was to live a perfect life, to die a substitutionary death. And then on the third day, God raised him from the dead, and that's still not the end of the story, because Christ is returning. Y'all will get it here in a little bit. Okay. I want to read from Luke chapter 2. I'm just going to read really one verse here, and then we're going to pray, and we'll ask God to speak to us this morning. Luke chapter 2 in verse 15. This is in the birth narrative with the shepherds. It says in verse 15, when the angels went away from them, from the shepherds, into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts even now. Help us to focus on you. Help us to see Christ glorified today. May you be glorified by our listening, our learning, and our obedience in living, that Christ might always be honored in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you could choose any place in the world to visit, where would you go? No restrictions. No restrictions. Money's not an issue. Passports, travel, security, all that stuff. Where would you go? I've had three all expense paid. times. Not exactly places where I'd choose, but where would you go? Would you go to Paris? See the Eiffel Tower? City of Love? Would you go to maybe London? See Big Ben? I would love to go to London and go to Westminster Chapel and all the great churches and see some of the great places of 20th century Christian evangelicalism. I think that would be cool. Hawaii? Anybody? Would that be where you would choose? Pretty cool. Where would you go? Maybe some would say, you know, somewhere exotic like Milan or Beijing. Go to the Caribbean. Or, I'm just suggesting, would you choose like Antlers, Oklahoma? Now, no offense if anybody in here is from Antlers. Okay? Or what about Paducah, Kentucky? Now, I know I got some friends here from Alabama this morning. I don't know if you've been there or not, but what about Boykin, Alabama? Y'all know where Boykin is? No? See, I didn't think anybody would know where Boykin, Alabama was. I can tell you this about Boykin, Alabama, also about Antlers, Oklahoma. Not a lot of honeymoon suites there. Not a lot of tourist agencies are booking rooms in those places because there's not a lot of people that are requesting these places to go. When we read the Christmas story, and here we see the name Bethlehem, we think of a very familiar place to us. If I asked all of you if we could just collectively in a hurry give a dozen facts about Bethlehem this morning, I bet we could rattle them off pretty quickly. But I will tell you that although that term, the word Bethlehem, is a very familiar term in our minds, it was no hotbed of nighttime activity. And yet, When God chose a place to come into this world, this is the place that he chose. Bethlehem. Why would God, the creator of all things, he's all powerful, he's sovereign, he's made everything, he owns everything, he has the purpose in his mind of coming to the world in order to spread the good news of salvation, why would he choose to come to a place like Bethlehem? Why would he choose this place? And really, what does it matter? Well, just this morning, very briefly, I want to share with you just three things about why God would choose a place like Bethlehem and why it matters to our lives. So, if you have your bulletin this morning, you already see on the back the bulletin there. We're going to look at three principles, I think, that you could say. And then talk a little bit about how that's important to us, especially as we look at Christmas as it approaches. First of all, I want you to see that God chose to come to Bethlehem because it's a place of potential. It's a place of potential. Now, you think about that and what I just said. Potential? Really? Now, I don't know how many of you have been to Israel. I have, and I've actually been to Bethlehem. And as you're on the bus and you're riding up towards Bethlehem, it doesn't look like a place of potential at all. There's a massive wall. There's a guard station with armed guards. And they're looking at people and vehicles as you're leaving and coming into the little village, the city there. Once you get inside the wall, there's not much. It's not, again, it has become a little bit of a hotbed of tourist activity because people know that they can make their money on people who are looking for Christmas ornaments and nativity scenes made of genuine wood that came from probably China. If God was looking for a place of potential, why would he look to Bethlehem? It doesn't seem like a place that one of these days is going to pop up and it's going to be on the map. I mean, if he's looking for that, why not Jerusalem? Jerusalem was the cool place. In fact, Jerusalem even fits the narrative of what God is trying to do. The word Jerusalem means the city of peace. The city of peace. That's what God wants to bring. That's the Christmas story, right? Peace among men. The city of peace seems like a better choice than Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. What is this? Are they making rainbow bread there? What's going on here? Jerusalem is exciting. It's bustling, there's action. Bethlehem is, it's a little boring. It's excruciatingly slow living. Jerusalem is like the New York City of Israel. Bethlehem is like Godibo, Oklahoma. I'm sure I'm going to meet somebody in the foyer from Godibo. So why would God choose Bethlehem? God chose to come to Bethlehem because God came for whosoever. No labels in Bethlehem. God wasn't looking at bank accounts in Bethlehem. God wasn't looking for designer suits and the newest fads and hairdos and who's got the coolest new gadget. In Jerusalem, you had the politically powerful people like Herod. Herod, in many ways, represented everybody who was hostile toward Christ. It won't take long, even in the Christmas spirit this year, to turn on the news and you can see people all around our so-called Christian nation that are hostile toward Christ. Not believers. Not turning to Jesus. In Jerusalem, you had those politically powerful entities that made things go, that were active movers and shakers. In Jerusalem, you had the religiously powerful people, like the chief priests and the scribes. These were the ones who snubbed their noses even at the notion of Christ. But in Bethlehem, the place where God chose to come, you have this beautiful merging. You have the poorest of the poor in the shepherds who are watching over their fields by night, right? The poorest, the lowest, the most outcast people, absolutely disdained shepherds. They were known to be thieves. They were known to be swindlers, to be dishonest. Yet isn't it interesting that God's messengers, the angels, showed up to declare their glorious message, first of all, to these rotten scoundrels. And you have the great merging of these poorest of the poor, the lowest of the low, the biggest outcast, with the insanely wealthy magi who had come from afar, who had been on a long trip, funded, fully funded, absolutely financially capable to come from long distances for a long time in search together. And in one single place, all of that stuff meant nothing. Because in Bethlehem, God came for whosoever. God came for the lowest of the low. God came for the wealthiest. And God came for everybody else in between. And when he came, they came. The shepherds had been told, and what did they say? They said, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." In Matthew chapter 2, when the Magi stand before Herod and ask if about this star that appeared, if they knew when, and Herod asked the chief priest to come out and find out where this was going to take place, and they said, "Bethlehem." And the Magi left and they went. They came to Bethlehem. And because he has come, because God has come in the flesh, he is our Emmanuel. Because he has come, the greatest of wealth, God, the owner of everything, Jesus in all of glory before time began, stepped down, emptied himself, became nothing, and came as a little child into this manger, this grubby, nasty place which they laid the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, from the grandeur of heaven to the oxen-laid floor of earth. God came, and because he came, we must come. That's what Christmas is about. It's about the fact that because God has come, we must come. We must come to worship whoever we are, from wherever we've been, whatever our social background is, whatever our upbringing or our downfall might have been. Wherever you are in whatever aspect of life, whether you're young or old or you're somewhere in between, or whether you are on your way to success or you're just coming off the wagon of failure, wherever you are and whatever God has brought about in your life, you can know this, that God chose to come to Bethlehem because God comes for whosoever. And today God calls. Just as God called the angels, just as God called the shepherds, and just as God called the magi, God is calling you to come. To come as you are. To come to Christ. To come and worship Jesus. To come and lay your life before this King. Christmas is the time for us to come and surrender our life before Christ. So when we think about all of those presents around the tree and all of the goodies that we eat and the time that we spend with one another, let us stop and remember that the reason why God chose Bethlehem is because God comes for whosoever would come to Him. Come and surrender. Today, come and offer your heart and your will, all of your life to Christ, because this is the place of God's great potential. God transforms the lives. God doesn't just add a little bit of Jesus to us because of Christmas. He comes to change hearts of whosoever would come. I want you to see secondly here this morning that God chose to come to Bethlehem not only because it's a place of potential, but because it's a place of providence. It's a place of providence. This was God's plan. From long ago, God had planned that He would come, that His Son would come. In fact, centuries before His coming, God had made this exact plan. And when we talk about that, I think most of the time we would think about the fulfilled prophecies of Christ coming. Which, if you've never looked at it, or if maybe if you're a bit skeptical about this whole Jesus thing, this is one of the areas that I would encourage you to look. Absolutely phenomenal to think of these prophecies. We think about the prophets, Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Or maybe you think about Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says that He will come to Bethlehem. He names the exact place in which the Savior, the Jewish Messiah, would come. Or even think of the prophecy in Hosea chapter 11 following the birth of Jesus and how Joseph and Mary took the child and they went to Egypt in order to escape the tyranny of Herod. And after Herod dies, they bring him back. And the prophet Hosea, hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, had predicted that the Messiah would come back to Israel out of the land of Egypt. Or Jeremiah 23 that I read earlier speaks about how this Messiah would come up out of the house of David and He would be the Lord, our righteous Savior. But there's also narrative passages like 2 Samuel chapter 7 that talks about David's throne being established in this one. Or Psalm 72 in which gifts would be presented to this one. Or even all the way back to Genesis chapter 22. All told, I don't know if you know this or not, there are 330 Old Testament predictions of Christ. The odds of one person fulfilling just a few of those, even a thousand years after they had been made are absolutely astronomical. But for one person to fulfill all of those, listen, folks, that is God's plan. Only God could make that happen. And we see it happen in Matthew chapter 2 when Christ is born and Herod asks the Jewish priest where. And they quote Micah 5 verse 2 correctly. They were right on theologically. They knew their Bible. The problem was they just didn't care. They didn't care enough, even though it was God's plan, they didn't care enough to go explore it. They didn't care enough to look for it. In Luke chapter 2 here, as we're reading, we see that God moved the entire world to fulfill his plan of the Savior being born in Bethlehem. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, in those days, in what days? The days of the birth of Christ. It says, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Caesar, the most powerful man in all of the world. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Going to do a census. And it says this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. Now, you think about the fact that God chose Bethlehem, this lowly place. Or even the fact that God chose that when he would come, he wouldn't come as a fully grown man, he came as a child. And then to think that he chose a 13-year-old girl to be the mother, and all the circumstances that surround with Joseph and the great questioning of what happened here. Then in verse 4 it says, Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, which, by the way, the term Nazareth, we're talking about cities and what they mean. The term Nazareth is a derogatory term, meaning outcast ones, unwanted ones. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. God had this all planned out. He moved heaven and earth in the form of a census so that Joseph and lowly Mary would be in Bethlehem at exactly the right time for the Savior of the world to be born. This is God's plan. God's plan, not Caesar's plan. It was God's plan, not Quirinius's plan. This was God's plan, not Joseph's plan, not Mary's plan. It was God's plan. This was not a coincidence. Now, I can tell you from 21 years in the Army that military operations run on plans, detailed plans. But there is also always contingency plans. Let me tell you why there's contingency plans. Because helicopters don't always work right. And guns don't always shoot straight. And radios don't always function properly. And, oh yeah, the enemy has a say in it also. And we don't determine what the weather does. And there's 100 other things with 1,000 other movements that happen that sometimes cross waves with the way that we make our plans. And so the Army makes plans, and we also have contingency plans. God has no contingency plan. God doesn't need a contingency plan. Bethlehem was not his second choice. Jesus dying on the cross was not an oops. The resurrection was a recovery from a mistake. All of this was God's perfect plan set in motion before time ever began, before Adam and Eve ever came to be in the garden. God had a perfect plan. And the reason why God chose Bethlehem is because God has a plan. The Bible says, this is one of my absolute favorite Christmas verses, and you probably won't see it as a Christmas verse, but it's found in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this: "But when the fullness of time had come," that's a fancy way of saying at just the right time, at the precise moment in which it had been planned, "when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Listen, for the great length and breadth of history, God the Father and God the Son sat on the brink waiting for the moment in which the Father says, "Son, go." God developed a plan because God wanted to redeem his people. And listen, the beauty of Bethlehem and the fact that God planned all of this, it was his perfect providence and his perfect plan. The beauty of all of that is this, that God is still carrying out his plan. God still is carrying out in his providential plan. And his plan is not to make the world religious, not to give us a couple of holidays. God came to rescue sinners. He came to rescue sinners like you and me. His plan is to forgive the guilty. His plan is to redeem slaves to sin. God had a plan to send his Son, and God has a plan for you. God has a perfect plan for your life. Most of you know Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, right? I mean, that's one of those verses that we as Christians, we memorize it and we quote it. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." But Jeremiah goes on and explains the depth and breadth of those plans. Listen to what he says in verse 12. "You will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me, and you will find me, when you seek me with all of your heart." God absolutely has a plan that includes you. And his plan that includes you includes his Son. And it included a manger. And it included a cross. And it included an empty tomb. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. God's plan was a rescue mission, to rescue all of us. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." The Bible declares very plainly that none of us can make ourselves right with God. And yet, God made a way for you and me. And Bethlehem shows us that God had a providential plan to save lowly sinners like you and me. I don't know about you, it's good news for me today. Bethlehem, the house of bread, is good news because the bread of life has come and we have been invited to the feast. And when we come and place our faith in Christ, we are being a part of God's perfect plan. So seek God today with all of your heart. seeking God with all your heart is not about the holiday. It's not about putting on your ugly Christmas sweater, getting out all the ornaments and hanging them on the tree. It's about decidedly determining your heart to go fully after God, to making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Bethlehem was a place of providence. It was a part of God's plan. And He has a plan for you today as well. The question for you today is, are you seeking God with all of your heart? Have you said yes to Christ? Have you come to Christ as Christ has come to us? Bethlehem. It's a place of potential. It's a place of providence. But finally this morning, God chose to come to Bethlehem because it was a place of privilege. A place of privilege? I mean, so far it hasn't really sounded like a place of privilege. Well, God handpicked Bethlehem to be the cradle of His Son. Again, I just have to ask the question, if we talk about privilege, why didn't He choose Jerusalem? It seems like the logical thought. After all, Jerusalem is the religious center of the world. Well, what about Rome? Why didn't He choose Rome? That's the political power. He could have easily gotten the message out a lot easier if He would have sent His Son to Rome. And some people today even believe that Rome is the center of God's activity. Or what about Athens? Athens was the intellectual and philosophical capital of civilization at the time. Why not all those places? The reason God chose Bethlehem over those prestigious locations is because the hope of the world will never be found in political power. The hope of the world will never be found in intellectual capabilities or philosophical systems or economic strategies or psychological therapies. The hope of every person, the only hope you have in this fallen world, is a Savior. Is someone who can do for you what you could not do for yourself. You see, that's why Christianity is not a religion about being better, trying harder, cleaning yourself up. Christmas is certainly not representing the fact of making ourselves a little bit cleaner and trying to do this whole thing over again and prepare yourself for the new year, make a few more resolutions, and boy, just try a lot harder and do better next year. It's about the fact that we are hopeless and helpless. It's about the fact that we are the lowest of the low. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. In fact, the Bible even says that there's not even really anybody who seeks after God on their own. And that's the great news. Even when Jeremiah says, seek me with all of your heart, the reason why that Jeremiah could exclaim that and say that we should seek God with all of our heart is not because we have the power to suddenly hunt God down. It's that God has hunted us down. that God has sought us, that God came at just the right time, Paul says. In the fullness of time, God came looking for us. I remember one time as a young kid, my mom had taken me to the Safeway that was on 51st and Harvard. And she had gone off and was doing her shopping, pushing her cart and whatnot. And you, I know that many of you will remember the little toy things that you could put a quarter in and you could ride it, right? So I told my mom that I was going to go do that. And it was back in the day, don't judge my mom, okay? But it was back in the day when you could do that. You could let your kid go do that. It was fine, right? So I went and got the quarter and I did a little thing. Riding a little thing. And there was a guy that came by and he scared me. He did nothing, but he scared me and I was just a kid. And I went and hid behind the big rack that had all the shampooers and things like that that you could rent. You remember that? Yeah, so I went and hid. My mom lost her mind. She couldn't find me. And I heard them start calling out on the, you know, looking for a 6-year-old boy with hair down to his shoulders and, you know, that kind of thing, right? They're looking for me. And my mom comes around the corner, and I remember seeing her come around the corner, and I ran out, and I said to my mom, I found you. I found you. But the truth is that she had been seeking after me. Aren't you thankful that God has been seeking after you? This is the good news of the privilege that we have as Christians, is that all along, God has been seeking you. In fact, that's what Bethlehem is all about, that God has been seeking after you. Today, would you come to a God who from time and eternity had put into plan and into motion and moved all of earth? This God who came to seek after you, would you come to him today and say, I found you. I found you. God wants to rescue you. And that's what Bethlehem is all about. That is why God has come. It's a place of a different kind of privilege. You see, the greatest miracle in the world is not that the Savior was born of a virgin in a remote village. That is a great miracle, but it is not the greatest miracle of all. That was a miracle that set the stage for the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle in the world is that because God chose to come, you can be born again. Right where you are. The greatest miracle in the world is that God seeking after you, you can come to him and say, I found you. You can be made right with God. You can be saved by God's amazing grace that covers all of your sin. That's what Bethlehem's about. Us finding God because God found us. You know, we sing that song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet, in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. I love this last phrase. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. God has come. He's come for you. Today, would you come to him? I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a few moments this morning. Bethlehem. is a place of potential. It is a place of God's plan. It is the place in which we find our great privilege to be made right with God when we seek Him with all of our heart. This Christmas season, would you come like the shepherds came? Those guys who were just doing their business, thought of as the nobodies, the outcasts, the people who are on the outside. And God revealed to them who they were, and they came immediately because they believed it to be true. Do you believe? Then come. Then seek Him with all your heart. Then come to Bethlehem, this place in which God has come, and meet with Him there and be made right with God. Or perhaps you come as the Magi, someone who's been seeking for a long time, and you've finally come to this place where you know it's true. Would you come and lay down everything that you have before Him and say, God, everything that I am, I leave it all to You. This place where God has come, would You come?